Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmaker. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Monday edition of Playmakers, solo show for me, but I am not alone. Not only do I got all of you, but at 5:30, we're going to be joined by GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, going to be joining us. Looking forward to that for the fourth period. We'll be talking to some River Kings a little bit later. We want to talk to you. Call up, join the conversation. We are wide open. Hit us in the numbers. 715-424-2600. We'd love to hear from you. Your sports takes, feelings, thoughts, all of the above. Please feel free to reach out to us. We're going to get into a couple of things this hour. Got some stats of the show for you a little bit later. We will talk a little bit of baseball and remembering a legend. I'll actually remember a couple of legends in basketball and in baseball in a little bit. But first, let's get to some calls. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
We still friends?
Hey, man. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How's it going?
Oh, it's been a typical Monday.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I feel you. You got it. This has felt like a week-long Monday. Really has felt that way. I looked at the clock earlier, and it's only 5 o'clock. Really feels a lot longer of a day than that.
It's kind of dragging a little bit.
What's on your mind for today, sports-wise?
Well, I mean, do we have to talk about the Super Bowl?
Not at all. Really, honestly, I had two comments on the Super Bowl, and then I was going to move on. One thing I do want to say real quick is I believe I don't know what you can say about a human being that can't own their mistakes or can't own their takes, right, or any of these things. And I said about week three that I didn't think Nick Sirianni was a Super Bowl winning coach. And I still don't think that he's a Super Bowl winning coach. But I do want to give credit to him for doing something I did not know he was going to be able to do in the biggest game of his career. He took a step back. He let his coordinators run the game. He did what he had to do as a coach, but he's not asked to do a whole lot. He doesn't call offensive plays. He doesn't call defensive plays. He let those guys do their jobs. And one of them is going to go and be a head coach in New Orleans now, and they won a Super Bowl because he was able to do that. He kept his mouth shut through the game, and I did not think he was capable of doing that. I thought after the game, he was incredibly classy. I like the way he handled himself, and seeing him with his boys got me. That guy got me. I didn't think I would. I didn't have that on my emotional bingo card. Seeing Nick Sirianni, you know, smile would make me happy. I was really happy for Saquon Barkley, and just wanted to own that I was wrong about that, about Nick Sirianni. I do want to also say real quick, one of my stats of the show, and it is the number two. I did something during the game last night, just for the fun of it, and I didn't necessarily start out meaning to, but I couldn't help myself. And two drives yesterday is the amount of times Tom Brady did not talk about himself. There were two drives, and I'm being literal about this, everybody. Two drives in the whole Super Bowl that he did not reference himself or talk about himself in some way.
That was brought up even on some of the talk shows.
Oh, really? Okay, good. I was wondering if it was just me and I was being a jerk for noticing that, or if other people did too, because it was just seemed like part of the reason he's in that chair is for some of that, but not every drive and not every single thing. I don't know. If he doesn't have even a quarter of the pedigree he does, there's no way he deserves to be in that chair. There's a million announcers out there that would give anything to be in that spot, that went to school for it, that traveled following small teams and everything around just to call games, just to do what they love. And this guy just walks into the booth and doesn't even come close to earning it.
Well, I mean, Aikman did the same thing too.
When
he first started out, and I mean, he still does it too. He's like, yeah, back when we were in Dallas, you know, he doesn't do it as often as he did. So, I mean, obviously this is his rookie year. Now is he going to still be able to do the games now that he's got ownership into a team?
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to happen.
Because it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't work. John Madden didn't own part of the Raiders. It shouldn't happen. Pat Summerall didn't own part of the Giants. It shouldn't happen. Right. He should have to choose either be part owner of the Raiders or be an announcer. Put one foot in one or the other. And one real quick thing, I keep hearing for every person that takes a shot at Tom Brady, I hear more and more people defend him. Why? What has he done to earn that? Look, he's getting paid $350 million to do this. I don't think it's expecting him a lot for him to be good at the job. Like,
right.
How often in life do we feel sorry for a millionaire like this? Like, be good at the job. Like, there's a lot of people. There's nobody in the industry being paid even close to what he is, and he's not even close to being in the top 50 announcers in the country, let alone in the world or anything like that. And this guy's making that kind of money. I'm paying him that much money, he better be dang good at the job.
Well, right, and I don't disagree with you on that. I mean, like I said, back in the day when Aikman first came out and he would be doing games, and it would just, you know, how many people wanted to turn their TVs off or turn the volume down on the TV and listen to the radio when those between him and the Buck was doing the games? It got to the point where it's like, really? It's be a little bit more biased, you know, quit being all about Dallas and all back in Dallas.
I agree with you. And I think that it's asking a lot for somebody who just walked into the job to be good at it. But again,
right.
Aikman wasn't paid $350.
No, you're
getting paid that money. I want you to be good at the job right away. I feel this a very similar thing about sports. We all have an understanding. Oh, this guy's a rookie. Oh, he's learning in that. Again, you're getting paid the big bucks to do a job. Get out there and get good at it and get good at it quick. Otherwise, there's plenty of other people that could do the job. There is so much time and effort and money put into this, and so many people working their tails off. And to have a guy who does not, I feel like, respect the position enough and treat the position well enough. I say that because I don't feel like I watched Tom Brady throughout his career make mistakes and get better. I watched him as an NFL player do that. I haven't seen even a smidgen of that as an announcer. As an announcer, I've seen a guy who feels like he's digressed through the year. And I don't feel like I'm even seeing Tom Brady. I just want him to be himself. I don't think this is that hard. I don't think he has to try that so hard. I think if he's just whoever he is as a personality, and maybe he is being a little bit, I think that would go a lot farther. But regardless, I just thought it was funny and a funny stat that out of all the there was two drives in the whole game that he did not talk about himself, and both of those drives were Eagle drives. By the way, I thought that was interesting too. What did you what do you want to talk about though? We've already talked probably too much Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, I think I'm going to go because we're getting down to the, you know, getting close to that that magic month coming up here with March Madness. And it was kind of a crazy weekend with college basketball. I mean, Florida beat Auburn, the number one team in the country. Duke fell to Clemson. And I'm looking right now at the rankings that came out today, you know, Florida is ranked third, tied with Duke.
Yeah.
But they did get three first place votes, and Auburn still's got all the votes almost with being number, you know, even though they got beat. And then you look at Wisconsin, they moved up five spots from 21 to 16. But now we're starting to get, this is when I kind of start watching, you know, the bracketology stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they actually have Wisconsin in the Midwest. And I have no idea who they got just abbreviations, LPSCMB. This is on CBS Sports.
Yeah, I'm going to say Long Beach. Might be Long Beach State. Because I thought I saw them as one of the bubble teams. But regardless,
They have Wisconsin as a three seed in the Midwest, and then they put them at Milwaukee for the regional.
Ooh.
And then they would end up playing the winner, which could be a Big Ten showdown, because they would, you know, they have them as Missouri against Ohio State in that other bracket. So, I know it's too early to tell, but the thing is, though, with this Wisconsin team, and if they can this next couple of weeks, they come out and they got a tough schedule coming up here.
Purdue's right around the corner. This Saturday will be right here at WFHR. That's the one. I've been eyeballing this game for a month. And I'm so thankful that both teams, while, you know, they've had some losses here and there and everything, both teams have been playing some pretty steady basketball. This probably could be one of the better games of the regular season as we get ready for a Big Ten matchup.
Right, and, you know, they got Purdue coming up, and they got their nemesis, Illinois, lately. I mean, Illinois has been tough with them. But if it holds true, they got this week against Purdue, and then they got Michigan State. Those are the only two ranked teams they got coming up here in the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And if it stays true what they say about Wisconsin, they can't beat the big teams, but they can beat the teams they're supposed to beat. I mean, they're gonna probably end up, I would say, probably still fourth in the Big Ten. They will get that first round bye. And then hopefully, I mean, I would like to see them make it in the championship Sunday in the Big Ten. But I guess I just kind of see how everything falls with their the bracket and stuff and where they, you know, who they play. But man, this team can shoot. I mean, they've been lights out.
It's been a while since we could say that about a Badger team. That's one of the highlights. That's one of the strengths of this team is its shooting and its three-point shooting in particular. I think it's outside the paint shooting as well. Those rough kind of areas they're able to really hit on. Chanjay's been playing great. I saw earlier he's averaging 18 points a game or something like that. I don't believe that's real. It's got to be more than that. I know that it's numbers, that they're not lying, but I feel like it's more than that, because it's even if he does score exactly 18, they're more than that. They mean more than that. He gets things going for that team where he'll have a basket, and maybe it's the only basket of the whole quarter, but everybody else is shooting great and he's setting other guys up. A very fun young player. The Big Ten tournament will be on March I believe March 1st. March 12th. March 12th is I want to get excited about March Madness, but the conference play and the conference tournaments always catch my eye first. I really want to see a good showing, not just from Wisconsin, but the Big Ten. I want to see great competitive basketball, because unlike in football, where teams literally beat each other up and they're not the same the very next week or whatever, you get a little of that in basketball. But I think more than anything, as we've seen, especially out of Big East teams, a team has a good conference game, a good run in the tournament, and they take that to the big dance.
Right. And, you know, there's five teams in the Big Ten that are ranked right now. You got Purdue at 7, Michigan State at 11, Michigan at 20, Wisconsin at 16, and then Maryland at 25, which, you know, it's kind of, you know, yeah, the Badgers have a better record than Maryland, but, they're kind of tied for overall record with Michigan. Both those teams beat Wisconsin, and they're ranked higher than they are.
Yeah.
I just hope, I mean, like you said, but you listen to Greg Gard. He says this is probably the most close team that he's ever coached. Mm-hmm. They spend time together. They're having fun together, and you can see it. You can see it on the court. I mean, that's just plain and simple.
And it goes to show too that with a lot of, you know, transferring and some of those things in the portal and some of that stuff that goes on with college sports, that it's about the players, and if they want to and if they try to bond, they can, even in the short amount of time. Because it's one of my favorite things about watching this team right now, and even listening to this team, you can hear it. You can hear it on the court. You can feel it in the players. Win or lose, these guys enjoy playing together. That's winning basketball almost every time. There's plenty of stories about Shaq and Kobe not getting along in these things. They didn't hate each other. You have to have a somewhat cohesive unit out there. They ain't got to be best friends, but they have to get along to a certain level. And it's such a different style of basketball and game of basketball when people enjoy playing together. I say this in jest, but also with some seriousness. It's part of the reason the Globetrotters are still going. Because they love what they do. They love enjoying playing the game and everything. It's why you see a 70-year-old Globetrotter still or something like that. Basketball is one of those sports. I don't know that you can play successful basketball if you're just unhappy all the time. If you're not happy in your surroundings, if you're not happy around your team, that's life, you know, and everybody gets in situations like that. But you, I feel like you see it all the time in basketball, where a player or a team just isn't there, and then you move one piece here or there, and boom, everybody's all right. Everybody's getting along and stuff. It's such a smaller... It is the smallest of all the team sports. They have the smallest roster of all the team sports, and I think that has a little to do with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm kind of, as you're talking here, I'm trying to look up some stats real quick, that with Wisconsin, that I don't think I've seen this before with a team, is that they're shooting 35, almost 37% from three-point range.
Yeah, their clip is amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and they've shot, their attempts are higher than I think I've ever seen it, 672. But the one big thing that I guess I think with the Badgers is a little different, I think, than years past, is that they're averaging 10 turnovers a game.
Mm-hmm.
When Bull Ryan teams, I don't think they were even close to that.
Yeah.
On a per game on turnovers. So, but, I mean, they're still making their shots. Tanjay is a great transfer, great portal pickup. You and I and Michael talked about this last week, that you didn't know how this was going to be.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, they had the Badgers picked, 14th or whatever, like in the bottom part of the conference, because they didn't have a name. And Tanjay, we actually talked about that on our interview. I heard that nobody expected the Badgers to be where they're at, but like he said, that they were looking at the names. They weren't looking at the team. They were looking at the names.
Well, and now we...
And,
It is. The thing that stands out, and I don't mean to jump on you here, but you set me up perfectly, because this is the one other thing I wanted to talk about with the Super Bowl, and it ties perfectly into what Tanjay and what you're talking about with the Badgers basketball team here, and the motivation factor. When you get to a certain level, college, pros, there is not a gigantic difference most of the time with your starting left tackle on this team and your starting left tackle on that team. There is your Trent Williams out there and your guys that just stand out, walk into the room and you know that's an all-pro. And then there's, you know, the rest of the league where it's pretty close to and everything. What differs is everything between the ears and in the heart. And when, you know, I talk about Patrick Mahomes all the time and his creativity and how that not only keeps plays alive, but it's such a bellwether for the rest of the team of, man, that's what the highest paid player in the organization is willing to do to win. Even when there's no chance of winning, he's still going out there and trying to make plays happen, et cetera, you know, whatever. The same thing can be said for when the Eagles lose the Super Bowl a couple of years back and Jalen Hurts is out there. Well, the rest of his team is in the locker room and he's out there watching the confetti and watching it all happen, and that motivation and where that can take you if you believe in it, if you really truly do give all in. And Tanjay's touching on that, where the doubters, the naysayers, right, what that does to motivate you and everything. I think there's a great life lesson in all of that for anybody. It doesn't matter if you don't play a sport or not. I think that you can take a lot from that.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that, I think that's probably what brings a team that together more too, is when you have those doubters and it's like, you know, like, all right, guys, let's go out there and just take it to them and show them who we really are. I mean, you know, you want to go back to the Super Bowl. I mean, everybody was, you know, how could you bet on Kansas City? You know, they had 12 one score games all year long, and you know how many they come back on and all this, and I kind of had a sneaky suspicion that it could end up being the way it was last night, where Philadelphia was going to come, you know, punch them in the mouth and just take it to them and just keep grinding and just keep their foot on the floor and going and not letting up, and it came back and showed. I mean, obviously with their offensive coordinator, knowing that this was going to be his last game as the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and then also they could be looking for a new defensive coordinator. Could, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah. I could see Fangio retiring.
Mm-hmm. You know, Fangio got what he needed, and this is what he wanted, but man,
I have to admit something with that too. Watching the Super Bowl with my father a bit and everything, and going into it, my dad was talking about Lombardi a bit and being a kid and watching Lombardi and how he was the only Italian coach in, you know, all the NFL and almost all of sports, you know, and how rare it was. And now here we are watching the biggest game in the world, and you got Spagnuolo and Fangio going up against each other as defensive coordinators, and we're looking at each other, we're like, oh, we can't lose. I mean, we're Italians. We can't lose here. Either one of these, we got a vowel win it either way. We got it was funny, but it also led to a better conversation about while so many things changed in the NFL, going back to those early Packer teams to the team that just won not even 24 hours ago. There are certain things that have never changed, and they say defense wins championships, and it's only half the story. Punching people in the mouth wins championships.
Right.
When's the last team that won a Super Bowl that wasn't punching in the mouth? Even the Kansas City teams of the last 2 years. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes doing these amazing plays that was winning those games. It was Chris Jones. It was Chanel last year, a Badger, another Badger showing up in the Super Bowl again, like last year with Chanel, and this year with Braun and everything. Wisconsin fans got to be a little happy about that, I would think, enjoying that part of it. I hope the NFL. I hope that if you are a fan of a team out there and you are not the Detroit Lions. Because that's the only team I'm talking about right now. Everybody else in the NFL needs to take notice and be reminded that this is what wins championships. You have a front office that does not blink. They go after guys and they get them. You have an organization that saw that they had something here and they didn't give up on it and rebuild. They stuck with the coaches, whether I agreed with them or not. And they punched people in the mouth and they got players and drafted players that punched people in the mouth. That's how you win football. You can have all the cool plays you want. You can have all the million-dollar players you want. All the first-round draft picks you want. You can have the greatest 40 times and the fastest team out there. Can they punch somebody in the mouth? That's football. Like, that hasn't changed. The players' sizes and everything have changed. All these other aspects of the game change. Until they turn it into flag football, that is not going to stop. If your team is not built for that, you are not going to win a Super Bowl. That just is, it's not going to happen. There's no way. If any other reason, then how long they're making this game, how many weeks there are, how many games there are, the teams that can survive that punch, that take a punch left and right, that's the teams that go on and win. We've been seeing it for decades now. You got to build your team that way from the core on up. You start with that O in defensive line and you build out from there. Philly got that. They did that right. Kansas City tried that, and they tried to be that team. They ran up against a team that was a bigger, better puncher. had a tougher punch.
How we were talking about how defense wins championships, there was a soundbite that I heard today from Jalen Hurts, I don't know if that was from Mike or who it was from, but he said that offense wins games. Yeah. Defense wins championships. And that was straight from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and that was a good one.
He put all the credit to his defense last night and how they just...
I was impressed with him. Certainly his play. Obviously his play. They had a great defensive scheme. They were going to knock out Saquon Barkley and make Jalen Hurts beat him. And Jalen Hurts beat him. That he did his job and he did it good. But what I was so more impressed with was him after the game and the way he just conducts himself every interview. I would like to see a little personality. I'm not going to say that I wouldn't. It'd be nice. I think that they've really grind these guys and these players to where it doesn't matter what happens to them, they're going to say the same soundbite every single time, and that's gotten really annoying. But at the same time, the demeanor of him and the ice water in that kid's veins, it was fun to watch. I thought it was fun. That and even though Saquon didn't have a big game or anything, and I was really looking forward to seeing that, I was still really enjoying his game and watching him play the game and playing it so well. It's been a lot of fun talking with you, man. Thanks so much for the time, Kev.
All right, James, you have a great day. And I got something else I'll talk to you about on Wednesday.
Sounds great, man. Sounds great. I appreciate it. And looking forward to it. We are going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and we're going to have the fourth period. GM, head coach, Paul Peckman going to be joining us. We'll be hanging out with him more coming up here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Family Natural Foods and Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Have your host, James, behind the mic, and I am joined right now by GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes, Coach Paul Peckman, joining us. Coach, good to see you. Good to have you with us in studio. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time, as always. We've got the fourth period here where we're going to take a little bit of time talking some River Kings hockey with you, everybody. You can follow along at riverkingshockey.com. Encourage you to follow the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. We're going to talk some game with the coach here in just a minute in the showcase. But, Coach, we got a guest in here. We got to introduce right away.
We do. We do. We have Dominic Height here, who just came into town today. We just signed him from the Hudson Havoc. Goaltender here that we had the pleasure of playing against, or unpleasure, I should say, that gave us a lot of fits, and I thought it was a great ad for us going down the stretch here.
Coach, real quick, and I don't mean to get in the weeds on this or anything, but I think that it's not common knowledge necessarily how this works. How can a player be able to do that contractually and all that?
Well, it's just really between two teams, you know, the agreement, and you know, some needs and whatever they want, yeah, and that kind of thing, and either usually it's player for player or player for a fee or whatever it may be, right? Dominic is 20 years old, and he brings that age and that experience, something that, you know, I mean, the other three guys are a lot younger, and it's just something that I think it could be the missing link to what we got to make a deep run here. So
that's what I wanted to go to next, and thank you for that. I appreciate that. Just find that stuff interesting, and I think it all also highlights the class and the way that we feel about the USPHL and how it's about the players first. It really does seem to really focus on the players first and foremost, and I always like that about show of highlighting that. Do you you mentioned this being a missing piece? Is this do you think this is one of those things that does lead to a longer a stronger playoff run here?
Well, I think experience. You know, I mean, you can't put a dollar amount on that, or you know, that's something that, especially in that position. You know, I think we're a pretty good team, right? But goaltending, and our goalies are good. Don't get me wrong, we got three good goaltenders, but they're young, they're inexperienced, they haven't been in the trenches. Dominic has played some unbelievable games against the Squatch with a team that wasn't as tough in front of him. So he's faced a lot of shots, right? So he's got that in his back pocket. And bringing that here with having a team in front of him like the way we play, I think is going to serve him well, which will serve us well. And I think the other guys are going to watch, and it's not like they're not going to get a game or two. It's just, you know, we're just going to play it by ear. But mainly, I think you know, Dominic is going to take the brunt of it here.
Dominic, when it comes to that, and what do you feel you can bring to this team? Does it start right there, experience, or does it having a similar name as one of the greatest goalies of all time? Is that a little bit of it too?
I do get that a lot.
Yeah, I imagine you got it, right. Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, yeah, the experience part is a big factor, I think. But I think, I mean, obviously the other three goalies are great, like very good. But I'm just really excited to kind of try and make a big playoff run, make a big impact on the team. I mean, I'm excited to be here, start winning some games.
What is it about this sport that brought you to it to begin with?
This is going to sound really dumb, but just it being cold. I was born and raised in Minnesota, so I'm pretty used to the weather, and I can't do hot sports. It's not for me.
Right up. No, this is my father's the same thing, man. You just made my dad so happy. I thought you and him, I think, are the only people I've ever asked that question to, and it's the first way they respond to it. But there is something different about playing in cold weather and playing the ice and all
for
that.
Sure.
When it comes to playing goalie, what was it about goalie that brought you to that?
I think for me, it was just the athletic part of it. I think it's just how different it is compared to being a forward or a defenseman. Because, like, I started off as a defenseman, wasn't very good, but I tried goalie and it just, I mean, partially because I didn't have to get off the ice either. You're just standing for the whole game. So that also does help.
Interesting. Coming out of the week's games and everything, Coach, I wanted to talk a little bit about goalie play with you. We'll get to that in a second. But first, Dominic, great to have you in town, by the way. I appreciate you being here. Thanks for showing up. He's here for 5 minutes and comes on the air with us and everything. That's a good kid. When it comes to what was over the week, over the past week, you guys were in Chicago in my old stomping grounds and everything. How did that go?
It was good. It was good. It was a lot of fun. You know, we did the outdoor inter-squad game, the blue-white game. So that was a lot of fun. It's always good to take the boys down there. A little break in the monotony of the January-February grind, you know. It was good to have fun on our way out to Battle Creek.
Rosemont's a great area. That's a great a rink. My dad is raced on that and everything. It's a fun one. That's really cool. That had to be a great experience. Were there scouts around? Were there anything like that happening?
No, it was just us. You know,
even better.
Just having fun.
Certainly, we want every opportunity for you guys, Dominic, to get to the next level and help you guys do that and everything. But at the same time, I think one of the best things about hockey, and I think it's a sport that does it better than any other sport, you almost have to take the moments.
Yeah.
You almost have to in this game, to take breaths and be like, man, I get to do this. This is what I get to do. This is, you know, whatever level you're at, this is what I get to do for a living. I do this with the team around here all the time with radio. We're having a long week or whatever. And like, remember, we get to do this for a living. This is what we get to do. Not everybody gets to do this. It's a privilege to be able to do this stuff. Right. It's a nice reminder of that. And great to hear. Great to hear that it went well. Let's talk about the weekend games. I feel like this is another one of those weeks, Coach, where I could talk about one game, but I'm really talking about both games. Both games, 2-1 victories for the Kings. Two very different games. Now, I do want to take a moment. I looked up his name, and we're talking about goalies here. I want to make sure. Galvin Regan, the goalie for Battle Creek. Wanted to shout him out a little bit because that young man had two back-to-back great games, just coming up one goal short in each game. And I'm glad he did, to be honest, because I'm a homer by far and away. But just wanted, we don't get to know other players very often on other teams, and I couldn't help looking at those stats being like, that kid had a couple of good games there. If you ask a goalie to play one of those games, that's really something. Back-to-back nights, that's really a lot on him. A good game by him.
He was definitely the difference, no question about it. I mean, we dominated for most part, right? And that kid, he stood in his head. You know, reminded me a lot like this guy here, because what he did the first time we played him here. So it's they got 10 new players from the last time we played him. So they brought in some guys, and you know, the coach did a good job upgrading his team, and they gave us a lot to handle for a while. And I was getting a little nervous in the first game. I was losing 1-0 going into the third period. But the boys didn't get rattled, and we just stayed focused and just kept grinding and take advantage of the opportunities.
The one thing that stood out to me about the outside of the winning and everything, but these games, the game two, shots on goal, they had 34, we had 32. You don't see that very often, where the losing team has more shots on goal, and you don't see it very often where the Kings have that few shots on goal. What happened there?
Well, those numbers aren't correct, James.
I didn't think so. I did not think so, man. I was wondering. I was going to ask you off air if we didn't get to it in the segment here or not. But okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Not even close.
We can move on then. But I do want. It actually gives us more time to talk about goalie play a little bit here, because you touched on this already. I think even your average watcher of the team this year wouldn't necessarily say, "Well, we need help at goalie." But I think a smart coaching staff, a good team that knows its team and is in tune, is looking at more than stats and knows the game that's more than that. Yeah. You mentioned something really quick, and it's not often that we get to say this about a 20-year-old, but experience, how much difference that makes. And you can have all the talent in the world, but there's nothing like doing things in real time. We talk about this with your everyday announcers you see doing TV news. With a job like that, there's only one way to learn it. You have to go out there and do it in real time.
On the job training.
On the job. And sports is like that completely. When it comes to that, it's no different. A kid can have a great regular season, but the playoffs are completely different. Having somebody like Dominic there, even when not on the ice, I would imagine is also an asset, just with his demeanor and his experience.
Well, you hope so. You hope so that the guys in the locker room, you know, absorb that from
him,
right?
Yeah.
So it's what nobody sees is what I see on a day-to-day basis, right? And in practice. And that's how I evaluated all year long. And it's, you know, you give guys certain opportunities, and my job is to put guys in position to be successful. Now, whether that means not being in the lineup or in the lineup depends, because if you look at all three records of these guys, they all have outstanding records, and the numbers are good. It's because they're strategically put in certain spots to succeed, which is going to help them. And some of those guys, I know, they don't look into it like I do. so they don't understand it, right? And again, that goes back to the maturity and the experience part of it. They don't know why, right? And those are conversations for another day.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why I do everything that I do, and it'll help them in the long run. And for now, it's about bringing in a guy with a ton of experience that's going to lead the way, and for them to absorb, watch, learn, okay, and be ready when your number's called, right? And that's junior hockey. That's life. That's how you learn to get to the next step.
We talked about this months ago when we were starting the season and we were watching the Kings from afar as you guys had a long road run to begin the season. Here we are at the end. We are looking forward to these home games and wrapping up the season kind of at home, no matter win or lose, whatever happens in the playoffs. We've got these four home games kind of wrap up the season with. What are you looking for out of these guys as you're building and getting ready for playoff hockey?
Well, I think we have – I'm looking for consistency. I'm looking for – guys to really hone in on what we're trying to accomplish, and that could change from period to period, right? That kind of thing on structure, systems, tempo, all that kind of stuff is, you know, let's do this, let's do that. And then guys, I want to see guys that can see it and implement it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really the difference of going from a regular season to playoffs, right? There's a lot more at stake. Right, and now the deeper we go, the higher your stock rises, and more coaches are watching, and I think that's what I'm really waiting to see. And there's a few guys, and especially the 19-year-olds, the 05s and the 06s that have potential to come back or move up. I want to see how they're going to react. Right, we have a lot of guys that the 04s that have been here last year. That have just dominated this year, I know where they bring to the table. Now it's the supporting cast that really have to step up here if we're going to go deep.
Dominic, have you been to Rapids before? Have you been in town before other than maybe to play the Kings or anything?
No, this is the first time.
All right, off air, there's a bunch of great restaurants I got to tell you about. This is what we got to do. We'll set you up that way and everything. But as far as with the team, what are you looking to do as far as chemistry-wise and building with these guys? How do you do that? How do you like to do that?
Today was a pretty damn good start, I think. Yeah. I mean, all the guys are really welcoming. I mean, I showed up and they just all kind of shook my hand and introduced themselves. It was pretty great, to be honest.
It's a bit of a rite of passage to have to go up on the air and put up with my questions too. So it's a build up.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, just the more I hang out with them, the more I spend time with them, skate with them, even skating for sure though, just kind of building that trust and building that like we're gonna do this, we're gonna make a run. I think that'll definitely help for sure.
Have fun. Enjoy it, man. Right. It's great to have you in town. It's great to have you on the show here and everything. You're welcome back with Coach anytime. It's been a lot of fun doing this. I want to remind everybody to go to riverkingshockey.com, get your tickets, as we've got the Kings back in town on Valentine's Day. Got a nice, that's a fun one right there. Asante coming to town to take on the River Kings both Friday and Saturday this weekend, 7 o'clock puck drop over at the Southwood County Rec Center. Let's show them home ice advantages, get your tickets, and help the boys of winter build hockey up and down the river. Be sure to follow them on social media as well and share their posts on your pages. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Thanks for the time, guys. Appreciate you.
Of course.
Thank you.
We'll talk again real soon, Coach.
You got it.
We'll be back with more show coming up here on Playmakers at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got your host, James, behind the mic. Take you right up to the top of the hour. Get you ready for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. That was a great time with Coach Paul and Dominic being here. Great to welcome Dominic to town that way. That was fun. We should make a thing of that. That was a lot of fun doing that. Be sure to follow your Kings and your boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. RiverKingsHockey.com. Follow them on all your socials. As long as we're talking about local teams and everything as well, I want to remind everybody, if you didn't get to catch the interview, great interview on Midday Magazine today. Had a couple of Rafters front office members in with us. I want to encourage you to go check that interview out and be sure to get ready for your season tickets of Rafter Hockey, Rafter Baseball at NorthwoodsLeague.com. Be sure to do that. I'll be honest, I got hockey on the brain. I got hockey on the brain. I've been enjoying this River Kings season so much, and I was talking to Coach there, and then I look at the schedule, and I see there's only a couple of games left in the regular season, and it made me sad. I don't want the season to end. But I'm excited about the playoffs, and I'm excited in the NHL with the All-Star Weekend that they have lined up. For those that are not paying attention, I get it. I understand football takes over a lot of brain power. You only have so much brain width, to be able to take in so much sports. So now that football season's over and everything, let me take over some of that brain of yours with NHL hockey and River Kings hockey. And some of it is really cool, I think. What they're doing with the All-Star Game this year is the best of four nations, where they've got Finland, Sweden, Canada, and USA all lined up going up against each other. And not for nothing, the USA team, pretty loaded. Pretty loaded USA team, man. So that should be pretty fun. I'm going to be following along. I'm looking forward to that. We were earlier talking a little basketball with Kev. That was a lot of fun, I thought. Not only a fun season and fun talking basketball, but it's this Badger season has been great. The men's and women's side have been fun. No, the Lady Badgers haven't been record-wise as great, but I think if you've been watching the games, listening to the games right here, you've heard some really good basketball. So there's a lot to build on there. And, of course, the boys' side, the men's side has been fantastic. As long as we're talking basketball, I did want to touch on one other thing over the sports weekend that I noticed. And what the 20 hours of pregame that they do for the Super Bowl, I don't know about all of you, but when I was a kid, I might have taken in a good 13 of those 20 hours. But now I don't know. I don't really watch a lot of it. So while I actually had a moment to watch TV, I don't really have that very often, over on the other channel, they had the NBA on, Milwaukee Bucks playing, and I like seeing Damian Lillard. Dame Lillard's probably my favorite player. I was going to look forward to watching that. What I didn't know was that it was Hubie Brown calling the game. I did know that Hubie Brown was going to be calling his last game this weekend. I didn't realize it was that game. And for those that don't know, Hubie Brown, one of the longtime great announcers in announcing, especially in basketball, but just in announcing in general. Hubie Brown is one of these guys like Neil deGrasse Tyson or somebody who can explain the most complex things in the world and make it simple where I can even understand it. He did that with basketball all the time. Legendary coach, legendary announcer, just a great run. And we're losing more and more of these legends of announcing, legends of voice, and the people that bring these sports to us. For so long now, we have been spoiled by visuals of sports to where so many of us, including myself, will mute games instead of listening to announcers, and I'll just follow it along out of the corner of my eye or something like that. When for the longest time, the only way you could take in the game was through the announcer. It was over the radio. And there was an art to this. There was a style to this. You had to be good at the job. And if you weren't, you didn't last at any level. And while that has changed quite a bit, and announcing has changed quite a bit, I don't think that core part of it has changed. It's part of my frustration with Tom Brady and him just being handed this job just because he's Tom Brady. And part of my standard for announcing. I think, it's one thing in sports to expect greatness. Well, these are professional athletes that have trained, worked, and all that for this thing. Announcing, there's a lot of good announcers out there. And they all deserve shots, but the ones that are good at it deserve to be, celebrated. And should be highlighted much, much more. And as we lose these legends more and more, I don't see people replacing them. There are great announcers out there. I've talked a lot. I think Kevin Burkhardt's a good one. My favorite announcer, I love Kevin Harlan. I love listening to him. I love listening to him call a game. I think he's fantastic. I think he is one of those guys that can also explain the game very well while also feeling like he's just in the room with you hanging out. And, of course, Bob Uecker, who we are missing and going to be missing. And more on Uecker in a second. But as we're talking about Hubie Brown, our real stat of the show today, I gave you two. There was two drives in the Super Bowl that Tom Brady did not talk about himself. That was our fun stat of the first half of the show. Second half, this is the real stat of the show. According to the reports, Hubie Brown, legendary NBA coach and broadcaster, is said to have coached against or broadcast games featuring roughly 80% of all the players in NBA history. 80%. He either coached for or coached against, or he announced 80% of the NBA's history. Just an incredible stat, an incredible legacy. And also made me think of Uke a little bit, because if you remember one of my stats of the show a little while ago when we lost Bob Uecker broadcast 3.5% of all Major League Baseball games in history. 3.5 games in all of MLB history. And while the NBA has been around for a while, it hasn't been around nearly as long as MLB. I think both stats are amazing. But that just really stood out to me about Hubie Brown, and wanted to make sure to note that. I got to watch some of that game, and I pretty much watched the whole fourth period and everything. I thought that was pretty cool. I mentioned Uke for another reason, because it was announced today. We've heard some rumblings about this already, but it was announced this morning that the Milwaukee Brewers are going to honor Bob Uecker with a uniform patch. And it is pretty cool. If you have not gotten to see it yet, you can go on to their social medias and look. It'll be on the sleeve. And it's circular, and it has a pendant in the middle that says Bob Uecker on it. And it has the newish logo of the Milwaukee Brewers, where it's a baseball, but it's with the grains, the brewing grains on there as the seams, which is a great idea. But then there is a flannel, a plaid, if you will, around it. And I know I'm a little biased about this because Uecker is one of my favorite people, let alone announcers of all time. But that's one of the cooler logos. That's one of the cooler, respectful kind of things I think I've seen. I heard somebody say, and granted, I only heard one person say this, but they were a diehard Brewer fan. I heard one person say, wow, they're just giving him a patch. Well, what else do you do? How do you honor somebody like that, somebody that meant that much to your organization, to the sport, to this state? What way can you honor Bob Uecker that's fitting? Every firstborn in the state has to be named Bob. How do you honor somebody like that? It's nearly impossible. I think the patch and that patch staying there. Because from what I'm reading, that patch ain't going anywhere. It's not just for this year. That thing's staying there. I think that's a pretty great way to honor him. I think that's a pretty honorable way to do that. And I'll be fair, too, here. I don't know how you would. I think that's just as good of a way of doing it as any. A big tip of the hat, the baseball cap to the Milwaukee Brewers. A nice move by them in that. I think that's a great move. We are getting ready for spring training. Pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting very soon. Actually, for the Chicago Cubs, pitchers and catchers have already reported to camp. And this week, the Dodgers and Rays pitchers and catchers will be reporting to camp. They're the first teams as they're getting ready, of course, for the Tokyo series that'll be coming up in March 18th and 19th. First spring training games happened on my birthday, actually. Happened on February 20th coming up here. That's going to be exciting. And it's the perfect shift away from football right into America's pastime. I'm excited about the baseball season. I think there's a lot to look forward to. I think there's a lot that's going to be fun about it. So, I don't know. I'm excited about it. And I'm certainly excited about Rafter Baseball, especially after the guests we got to hang out with today. We had a really good time. I do want to send a quick shout out to Jake and Gwen for the time today, but to the Rafters organization who we've been working with, in front of y'all and behind the scenes to make our relationship that much stronger. We're going to have such a fun season. You're going to be hearing from the players more. We got, more time here on Playmakers now. So we're going to be having the players down here a lot more. We'll be talking with Coach. It's going to be a lot of fun. And as long as we're talking about fun, it is a blast every time we get to have the fourth period. The friendship and the relationship we have with Coach Paul is second to none. And I am so appreciative of him and him just being able to stop by and talk hockey, talk. It's been great. We've been really having a lot of fun with the Kings this season. I don't want to say we're spoiled. I think this town deserves and has earned this, but we're spoiled, man. We got some really fun teams around here that are very successful and doing very well as organizations. And that's even before we get to wins and losses. I'm talking about the kind of kids that they bring into this town, what they do in this town, the economic impact that they have on this town. That really stands out. And the winning is a lot of fun, too. Follow your River Kings as they build hockey up and down the river, riverkingshockey.com. And, of course, the boys of summer getting ready to take things over for the boys of winter. Go ahead and help them do that at northwoodsleague.com. It's been a fun show. Thanks to our callers. You guys are the best listeners in radio. Appreciate you. We'll be back on Wednesday with another edition of Playmakers for you. Got a lot of fun there. Michael, I believe, will be joining us. So we'll be shifting gears, him and I, and talking a lot more basketball, I imagine, and having some fun there and getting ready for baseball, that being right around the corner. It'll be a good time. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Have a good night, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.